Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Revelation. Revelation. No, it's not that kind of revelation. It's the first part of Revelation. It's the easy part. I'm hoping for something juicy. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7. I want to share today on from the scripture, Revelation chapter 3, as we kind of get ready to go to communion. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So, Father, I just thank you for your grace and mercy. And I thank you, Father, for your spirit here today. I just pray that you would speak to us, Lord God. Father, let there be nothing in me that hinders the delivery of this word. This is your word. Speak to us. Bind every spirit of fear and intimidation. And, Father, I pray that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can get a revelation of your word. We don't want more information. We want your word to come alive in our hearts and in our spirits, and that it would have practical application in our lives, Lord God, I pray. And I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you that you will speak, and that your name will be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak about opening new doors. We all understand the concept of doors because we use them every day. There are different types of doors that we use. There are closed doors. I don't know if this ever happened to anybody, but you're heading towards a door and you're heading at a good speed. You're expecting the door to be open. Yes, it's closed, but you're expecting it to be open. You know, you're kind of thinking all you got to do is turn the handle and then push your way through. But as you approach the door, it's closed, it's locked, and you nearly kind of smack into the door. It's a closed door. Then there are the doors that are open, but you've got to push them to open them. They're kind of jammed in some way. The door is warped or stuck. And in order to get that door open, you've got to really put some weight behind it and push that door. Then there are my favorite doors are the automatic doors. They're the lazy doors, you know. You just come up to the door, and it's like the door is saying, "We've been expecting you," and suddenly it opens up before you, no effort required. Sometimes you approach an automatic door expecting it to open, and it doesn't open, and then you start to do a little dance in front of this sensors, hoping that it would open. I got frustrated with an automatic door last week because I walked up to it, and it's this one of these slow automatic doors. I don't like anything slow. Can I hear an amen? Do I have any friends in the congregation? Fast is what we're looking for. Today, I don't want to so much talk about physical doors. I want to talk about spiritual doors. I want to speak about spiritual doors. Because as we look through the Bible, this theme of doors appears again and again. And when we see it in the context of Scripture, it's speaking about opportunities, divine interventions. It's speaking about an invitation of some description, talks about salvation. And look at the Scripture in our text. It says, these are the words of him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David. Here it is, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. What he opens, no one can close. What he shuts, no one can open. Now, there are doors in our life that need to be shut. There are some doors, I don't want to speak about this as much this morning, but there are some doors in our lives that need to be shut. Hurts and wounds and bitterness and some of those kind of doors, addictions. There are doors that need to be shut. you know, harmful things, things that are the things that are tripping us up, entry points for the enemy to be able to, you know, send us into a spin. There are some doors that need to be shut, and I like it because what he shuts, there are some doors that only he can shut. We need the grace of God to be able to shut certain doors about certain things in our lives. But then it says there are doors that God wants to open. There are doors that what God wants to open, and what he opens, no one can shut. Now, I doubt many of us have prayed at some time in our life, Lord, would you open a door in my life? Or we've said, Lord, it seems like everywhere I turn, the doors are closed. Oh, Lord, why did you close that door? I thought it was an open door. It felt like, you know, God, you were in it. It felt like it was an open door, but then it closed. You look through the book of Acts and you'll see how God's purposes were being accomplished in the formation of the early church through the opening and closing of doors, through seemingly unexpected opportunities, coincidences that just looked like, you know, strange things that were happening, random acquaintances, yet it was God right behind that leading and guiding and directing the church as it was expanding throughout the area through there. Think about your own life. How many strategic doors were open? Think back how, you know, there in certain points of your life, certain doors opened that then became quite significant in your life. Some doors were closed. And you got angry with God because those doors were closed. But 10 years later, you said, oh, God, thank you that you closed that door. And because one door was closed, another one opened. A lot of people coming from different countries in the world, and you had different options about which countries you would go to, and you had all these applications, but you know, some doors closed and some doors opened. And here you are in Adelaide. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. It's the will of God. And gee, this is the land of heaven, honey, and the promised land, Adelaide. I believe the God we serve is a God that opens and closes doors in our lives. And I want us to pray this morning. Just want to kind of get this one thought into our minds that God would open doors in our future, our families, our church. I want us to believe that some doors would open in our lives, because the God we serve is the God of the open door. So what I want to do is just briefly look at some scriptures in the Bible that speak about doors, and I pray that through these scriptures that God will speak to us today. First of the scriptures is found in the text that we read, Revelation 3:8, and this is what it says. It speaks about the doors that God wants to open. It says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, I don't know about what you do, but when I read scripture, I kind of circle key words and kind of helps to get an understanding of what the scripture is actually saying. And one of the first words that I circled is the word see. God is saying, I want you to open your eyes. So often when we look at our lives, all we see is closed doors. God, you're opening doors for everybody else. Everybody else got open doors, got no open doors in my life. All we see is closed doors. And God says, I want you to notice that there's an open door in front of you. Some of you feel like you're trapped. There's no way out. God wants to open our eyes to be able to see the doors that are open before us, the opportunities, divine opportunities that are before us that God wants us to walk through. And then he says, see, I have set before you an open door. I love that. He says, I have set. It's got nothing to do with you. This is about me, God is saying. I have set an open door in front of you, says the Lord. This is an open door for you. I'm the one opening the door. It's not because of your effort. It's not because of your righteousness. It's a door that is open before you. God knows you. God has a plan for your life. And he has a door that's open before you. And then he says, and no one can shut it. No one can close that door. Not even you. You can't close that door. It's an open door that God has set before you that you might be able to walk through He says, I'm going to keep it open for you, even when you're discouraged and struggling. And even if you don't believe that there's an open door before you, God says, I'm going to set a door before you and so that you can walk through that, and no one can shut it. No one can shut it. Not even you. You know, there are some people that worry about missing the will of God. Oh God, what if I missed the will of God? Maybe it was an open door. I should have walked through that door. No, it was the wrong door. Which door? I don't know. And people are afraid they're going to miss the will of God. If that's you, I want you to know that you make God too small and yourself too big. Seriously, God is more interested in you accomplishing His will than you are in accomplishing it. God isn't the God of hide and seek. Sometimes we think He's the hide and seek God about His will. We've got to find His will. It's got to be here somewhere. That's not the way God works. God wants to reveal His will to you and me. How many people have ever missed a turn with your GPS guiding you, you know? Yeah, because some people, I've had people in my office, I said, Pastor Joe, I missed the will of God. 20 years ago, I missed the will of God. There it was an open door before me. I didn't walk through that door. That's it, I've missed it. And they've convinced themselves that's the case, and they're trying to tell me that that's what. And I'm saying, no, that's not the way God works. The way God works is a bit like a GPS. I don't know about you, but I've missed a few turns with my GPS guiding me many times. You know, not so much here in Adelaide, because our roads here are pretty simple. Come on, it's in some of those other states. We won't mention their names, where you got three roads coming in and out, blah 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 blah. And the GPS says turn right, and there's three turn rights. You know what I'm saying? There's three roads there. Which one do I take? And so you turn left, and you miss it. You know. And what's funny, but the GPS, okay, you know, is a lot of times that you got to turn left, and then those roads go parallel. So the GPS is saying, no, you're on track, but then the other one veers off that way, and you think, oh man, I missed it completely. You know, you want to follow the right road, but you miss it. What does the GPS say to you when that happens? What does the GPS say when you thought you were on the right road, but you got onto the wrong road? My GPS is Italian. From Naples, start saying, oi, so what are you doing? Listen when I speak. What's wrong with you? Now we got to turn around again. That's my GPS. What does the GPS say when you miss the road? What does it say? It says recalculating, gently recalculating. Finds the next closest road to get to your destination. And to me, that's a picture of how God works with us. Because it's not about the destination. Finding the will of God is always about your heart's attitude towards the will of God. Do you have a heart's attitude to do the will of God or not to do the will of God? What's crucial is if you want to do the will of God, you will find the will of God. And even if you miss the particular turn, there'll be a recalculating and God will bring you back to the will of God. One of the prayers I pray every single day. Every single day I pray the prayer. I say, God, I just want to do your will. I want to be in the middle of your will. I want to be in the middle. You know my life verse, you know, preaching for many years now. And, you know, going back to the scripture I made reference to before, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't send me up for you. I don't want to be anywhere where your presence is not. I want to be in the center of your will, Lord God. And so every day I pray, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to know. I don't know what the will of God is for me for tomorrow or for next month or 6 months or 12. I don't know what the will of God is. It's His will. My responsibility as a believer is just to say, I'm committed to doing your will, whatever the cost is, Lord God. And then that's our responsibility. And then God will guide us and lead us. And He'll direct us according to do that. Lord, we just want to do your will. First scripture, I know your deeds. See, I have set before you. I just pray today, like my prayer for this service is just a simple thought about doors, but I'm praying that God is going to open our eyes to see the doors that He has set in our lives. Whatever it is it might look like in your life, see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. Second of the scriptures comes from 1 Corinthians 16:9. It's the doors of great opportunity. Doors of great opportunity. Paul tells the Corinthians, for a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Passion Translation says it this way: there's an amazing door of opportunity standing wide open for me to minister here. Paul says, a great and effective door is open for me, a door of amazing opportunity, a huge door of opportunity, says the Message translation, a wide open door. I love that kind of translations, a wide open door. How many of us would like an amazing door of opportunity to open before us? You know, some people have this view that the Bible is negative, God is negative, and so on, and it's just this doom and gloom. But you know, the Bible, God is for us. Can I hear an amen? And some of us need to grab a hold of these promises and apply them to our lives. God says, I've got an amazing door of opportunity available to you, a wide open door. And I want us to believe that God has large open doors, great opportunities, that God wants to use us in the name of Jesus, that God wants to do great things in our lives. So easy to disqualify ourselves. Come on, it's so easy to believe the negative. Why is it so easy to believe the negative and doubt the promises of God? Why don't we believe the promises of God and doubt what the enemy is saying in our minds? Come on. So easy to disqualify ourselves and this will never happen to me. I'm not smart enough, spiritual enough. I have a past. God will never be able to use me. God will never be able to do something with my life. And we believe that and we convince ourselves. These deep buried beliefs that kind of influence every area of our life. No, that will never happen to me. I love the story of Jabez. We know the story of Jabez, whose name means pain. Pain, where are you? Where's pain? He's around here. Pain, come here. Yeah. His name means pain. He was born in pain. We don't know what that was about. We don't know, you know, what happened at his birth. And he could have so easily settled for that. He could have easily taken a victim mentality. Oh, my name means pain. I was born in pain. Nothing ever good is going to happen to me. My life is going to be a disaster, blah, 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 blah. But he refused to believe that the circumstances of his birth were going to determine his future. And he begins to cry out to God. He prays to God. He says, oh, that you would bless me. In the midst of this, he says, oh, that you would bless me and that you would enlarge my territory and that your hand would be upon me and that you would protect me from harm. He refused to take the position of a victim. So often people say, oh, Pastor Joe, if this didn't happen to me, the worst thing that's happened in my life is A, B, C, and D, whatever that is for you. No, I think the worst thing that can happen in our lives is we take a position of a victim. That's the worst thing that can happen to us. The enemy convinces us that you're a victim. We spend our whole life blaming X for what's happened in our life, blaming this person, blaming that person, and blaming the other person for what's happened in our lives. And we're always looking for sympathy from someone else. The victim always does two things: blame someone for where they are, and always looking for sympathy, looking for someone to rescue them. The greatest that's worse than whatever it is that's happened to us. Jabez refused to take the position of a victim. He begins to pray. The way out of that, by the way, the way out of a victim mentality is take responsibility for your life. There is a way through that in the name of Jesus. We've got to believe that. There's a way to get through. There are things that we can do that can help us through whatever it is. And Jabez prayed. He says, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. And maybe there are people here, you're a genuine victim. Genuinely, whatever's happened to you, it's not your fault at all. There's some truth to that. And the issue for you is don't settle in that place. Don't settle in that. Don't camp in that place of a victim. It's true. It's half true that you are a victim. But God wants to use you in a powerful way. God wants to take you out of that situation and use you for his glory. Jabez prayed, oh, that you would bless me. Why not take this scripture and say, the Lord is for me. Lord wants to bless me. Lord wants to, you know, open amazing doors in front of me. And then it goes on to say, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. When we move through the right door at the right time, there's going to be adversaries. Paul says, a great and wide door is open before me, but there's many adversaries. There's an enemy that wants to stop us from walking through the doors that God has for us. Sometimes the greater the door, the greater the adversaries. When we get closer to God, when we seek after God, when we determine to press into God, the enemy is not going to be happy and he will oppose us. But we never need to be afraid because we know that God is for us in the name of Jesus. The doors that he opens, no one can shut. No one can shut those doors. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper by the grace of God and for the glory of God. Third door the Bible speaks about is the door of hope. The door of hope. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Hosea chapter 2 verse 15. You remember that Joshua was commanded to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. First city they faced was Jericho. They marched around the city and God gave them an incredible victory. Second city was much smaller. It was Ai. And so because it was smaller, they decided to just send a smaller army into it. They thought this would be an easy victory. Israel went against Ai and they were defeated badly by this small group. In fact, 36 of their people died in the battle. So Joshua began to seek the Lord to understand why they had lost the battle, what had happened. And what had happened is that God had told Israel not to take any of the spoils from Jericho. But the Bible says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. And there in the valley of Achor, Achan was punished for his sin. Valley of Achor, in our own lives, speaks of a place of trouble, of darkness. It's a place of our greatest failure. It's where God seems absent, powerless. We don't know what to do. If that's you today, I want you to know the God we serve is a merciful God. And he's the God of hope. And the good news is that no matter what kind of trouble we face in life, God promises a door of hope. It's in the valley of Achor that God says, in that place, in that dark place, in your darkest place, it's in right that place that God is going to open a door of hope. In the valley of Achor, sin and suffering and trouble, he says, I'm going to provide a door of hope. You can't see that door right now, but it's in the worst place of your life. It's in the darkest place of your life that God says, I'm going to open a door of hope. Chuck Colson was a politician, a US politician who made a mistake and as a result ended up in prison. And in prison, he came to know Christ. When he came out, he started a ministry for prisoners. Chuck Colson said, but all at once I realized that it was not my success God had used to enable me to help those in this prison or in the hundreds of others just like it. My life of success was not what made this morning so glorious. All my achievements meant nothing in God's economy. No, the real legacy of my life was my biggest failure. I was an ex-convict. My greatest humiliation, being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. He chose the one thing in which I could not glory for his glory. And the day of humiliation was turned into a powerful ministry to prisoners in the life of Chuck Colson, done some incredible work. God wants to open a door of hope in the valley of Achor. I love the story of Ezekiel. I know we go back to it, but I love the story of Ezekiel. God brings Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. And he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? They're just dead bones. Ezekiel's smart enough to answer God and say, Lord, only you know whether these bones can live. Because in the natural, there's no way that these dead bones can come to life. And God says to Ezekiel, begin to prophesy to these bones. Begin to prophesy the word of the Lord to these bones. And as he began to speak the word of the Lord, the bones began to come together. And a mighty army began to come forth. What disappointment or hurt or deep dark valley has taken up your life? You've said, I give up. I'm a waste of space. My life's not worth living. That's you today. I want you to know that in Christ there is no condemnation. And that in the place of your darkest defeat, God can open a door of hope. The dead bones were speaking about Israel, that Israel had lost hope. They said there is no hope for the future. Nothing can change the future. This is my destiny in life. There's not a thing that can change. This is it. And Ezekiel says, do you think these bones can live? Only you know God. Only you know God. Begin to speak the word of the Lord to these bones. And as he spoke the word of the Lord, they came together. There are some of you that inside of yourself, your hope is dead. Your hope is gone. There is no hope. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. It actually affects us physically when we look to the future and we don't see any hope. Depression is essentially a sense of hopelessness. I don't see any hope for the future. And that's at the core of what depression is all about. And the word is here in the place of Achor, in the place where you feel like there is no hope. God says, I'm going to open a door of hope. That's the God that we serve. Oh, Pastor Joe, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I don't understand the circumstances that you're in, but what I do know who God is, and he's the God who opens doors of hope in the name of Jesus. And he has this way of changing the circumstances of our lives. The fourth door the Bible speaks about is the opening of prison doors. The Bible speaks about the apostles who were performing miracles and preaching about Jesus. Religious elite were jealous, had them thrown in jail. The Bible says, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And the next day they were in preaching again. And I wonder, is there someone who feels like you're in a prison? You feel like you're in a jail. Not in a real prison, but a prison in your mind, in your heart. A prisoner to the past, to an addiction, to unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness. You feel like there's no way out of this. You feel like you're in a prison. There's no way that I can get out of this. If that's you, I want you to know that the God we serve is a God who can open prison doors. Just reading this morning about Paul and Silas, who is exactly the same situation. They were preaching. God was doing great things through that. Throw them into prison. What were they doing in prison? What were they doing? They were praying and they were worshiping. As they worshiped, the Bible says, the chains on their legs came off and the prison doors were opened. Pastor Joe, how are doors opened when you feel like you're in a prison? Well, one of the ways is we begin to worship. Why do we spend 20 minutes or more just worshiping before a service? Because we believe worship is a spiritual weapon. And as we begin to worship, how great is our God? As we begin to worship, prison doors can open in our lives. Those doors that seem shut can begin to open. Those situations in our lives where we say, I can't see a way out of this. God can open a door in the prison to help us out of that. David prayed, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. And then number five, the final door is a door of the Lord's choosing. Paul said to the Corinthians, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, that the Lord had opened a door for me. It wasn't a door Paul had expected, but God opened the door. Wasn't a door that Paul had strategically planned, but God opened this door. We can talk about all the men and women in the Bible and the doors that God opened in their lives. Joseph in prison seemed like that was his destiny. But then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream and Joseph tells him the meaning of the dream. Within 24 hours, he went from the prison to the palace. Esther, she's an ordinary girl, unknown, adopted, a foreigner. And then all of a sudden a door opens and she becomes the king's wife. God wants to surprise us with open doors. A door we didn't expect, a door we didn't plan for. And when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door. I was surprised, but there was a door open. God wants to surprise us with some open doors in the name of Jesus. Doors we didn't expect. What are some of the keys to opening the doors? Believe for an open door. But just believe for an open door. Just begin to speak the word of the Lord. We can't open doors in our lives. And we can't demand that God open this door or that door or the other door. But what we can do is position our hearts to believe. Hey, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to open some doors in my life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in my life. Let this word that God gave the church in Philadelphia, let it be a word for us. See, I have placed before you an open door. I just thank you that you're the God of the open door. I think about my own life. I think about, you know, all the decisions that I made at strategic intervals in my life, how some doors closed, some doors opened. I finished university. I'd done 4 years of uni. I thought I was the most employable person around. I just thought, I'm just there. The employers are waiting for me to finish university because they want to employ me. So, you know, you start applying for jobs and you get those very special letters back, you know. Thank you for your application. We're putting your application in a file. It's one of those round ones under the desk. And we will get back to you sometime. I was devastated. I was devastated, devastated. Because I thought, as soon as I start applying for jobs, man, people are going to... nothing, mate, is what came, nothing. And door after door after door after door after door closed. And then one opened. And one job, through that one job, another door opened. And another door opened. It's the way God works. It's God, you think about your own life. You think about the doors that... How did you end up here? How did you end up here? Because God opened some doors. You think that were coincidence, Pastor Joe? No, they were divine interventions. God was opening doors in your life. That's the past. The past informs us of what God wants to do in the future. The past informs us of how God operates in our lives. And if you're not sure, go back a few thousand years and you'll see how God operates. The Bible is an account of how God works throughout history. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and shall be forevermore. And how he's operated in the past is how he's going to operate. And so if we want to see open doors, just have a heart that is open towards believing, hey, that God could open some doors in my life. Lord, I just thank you that you've opened some doors for me, strategic doors in the name of Jesus, doors of opportunity. In the name of Jesus. No, Pastor Joe, that sounds like faith. All right. The alternative is go with doubt. Oh, Lord, I just thank you that there's no doors open in my life. That's a better prayer. Yeah, go with that one. See how that one goes for you. It's in the Word. We're not saying something that's outside of the Word. And we always submit ourselves to the will of God, the sovereignty of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Comes after submission to the will of God. I submit myself to the will. I say, thank you, Father God, that you're going to bless me. You're going to enlarge my territory in the name of Jesus. Pastor Joe, you must be like a faith machine, Pastor Joe. You must, man. Let me tell you, Monday mornings are tough for me. I'm not a faith machine. I have the same doubts you have. I have the same insecurities and inadequacies. I got them all. And when they attack, it's not nice. Now I got to start speaking to myself. I got to start declaring the word of God to myself. I got to say, God, just, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I got to speak the word of God to myself. I got to say, God called me. I didn't choose to be here. I didn't choose to do all of this. It's God who opened one door after another, and here I am. It's God who's anointed. God who is called and he's given gifts and so on and so on. And just step into that by the grace of God. Believe for an open door. Number two, close some old doors. Some doors that need to be closed to sin and unforgiveness, resentment, a victim mindset, a lifestyle that's displeasing to God. You can never find the will of God while you're living consciously, actively living away from God in sin. And then thirdly, you need to seek the Lord. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door shall be open. What's it speaking about? Prayer. Speaking about prayer. It's just knock on the door. If you don't knock, you don't get. Ask. One final door that the Bible speaks about is the door of the heart. The Bible says in Revelation, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them. Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. We may not even know it, but we have a door in our hearts. We can decide who we allow in and who we don't allow in. And in the text, the church in Laodicea had closed the door to Christ. It was a church that had closed the door to Jesus. And Jesus could easily have said, well, if you don't want to know me, it's fine. could easily have said, if you don't need me, that's fine. I just went and walked away. Instead, it's Jesus knocking on the door saying, come on, let me in. All the religions of the world, God is presented as an angry God, difficult to please. People have to work hard to win the favor of God. In Christianity, everything is different. It's God who comes in search of us. It's God who leaves the 99 in search of the sheep who's wandered away. And he knocks on the door of our hearts saying, open the door. I want to eat with you. I've got so much to say to you. I've got a plan for your life. I love you so much. Open the door. Let me in. It's just an amazing picture. The church had said, nah, we don't want you here. And Jesus is on the outside of the church and he's knocking. Let me in. Let me in. I want to come in and talk to you. I want to come. You know, the only people you have a meal with is friends. Friends. It's nothing more special, intimate than to have a great meal with a friend. Great coffee. With a really good cake, with a friend, very special. And Jesus says, it's just beautiful. It's Jesus knocking on the saying, let me in. I want to have a meal with you. Well, that's so much to say to you. And God is saying to you and to me, he's just let me in. I love you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got things I want to say to you. Yeah, just let me in. Let's talk. How do we open the door of our heart? All we need to do is invite Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. That's all we need to do. Pastor Joe, how do I do that? It's by praying a simple prayer. Lord, I recognize that I've sinned against you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Give my life to you. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. When we do that, when we open the door of our heart to Jesus, he comes and dwells in our hearts by his Spirit, and we experience the miracle of salvation. This communion with Jesus is what communion is all about. It's an opportunity to meet with Jesus. It's an opportunity to connect with Jesus, to speak with him, pray, present our needs. Lord, would you help me to see the doors that are open in my life? Allow him to speak to us. The brethren are going to come and they're going to distribute the emblems and we're going to sing. And then we're going to take communion together in the name of Jesus. Thanks, guys. And Father, as we go, let us be sensitive to every leading of the Spirit. See where the wind is blowing, Lord God, and to be used by you, by your grace and for your glory, as we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.